Welcome back. You're listening to Across the Border. My name is Nicholas, and the purpose of this program these days is to go through the scripture. We are in the book of Leviticus, and we've been talking about how the law was nailed to the cross, or at least they're wishing and hoping that it was, in the corporate church, because that's generally what people have been taught and what they believe. But if you have the patience to go through the entire scripture and compare it and to rightly divide the word, you realize that the New Testament brought no new law, neither did it do away with any of the old law. You realize that there is not two separate gods, the God of the New Testament and the God of the Old Testament. I've heard those phrases before, but he is the same. You know, today, yesterday, and forever. He's always been the same. He became a man. He dwelt among us, and he laid down his life for us and shed his blood and paid the price for our sins. And that's why his name means our Creator is our salvation. That's why he was given the name above all names, because he was given the name of the Creator. And the name not only of the Creator, but the name that says that the Creator is our salvation, which is Yahushua, which means Yahuwah is our salvation. So our Creator is our salvation. He is the same. He didn't bring anything new in. A lot of people consider that he brought a lot of new stuff in and things that had never been revealed before. And in a way he did. He brought things in and gave us an understanding that people didn't seem to have before. Of course, the mysteries, you know, that were hidden from the foundation of the world. He opened our eyes to a lot of things that were here all the time. And as we go through the Old Testament, though we may not have understood before he came and gave us the revelation of those things, they were there and we're seeing them now. He said, you know, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Yahushua said that. But here I read it in Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 18, and it says, you shall love thy neighbor as thyself. Say the same thing. Everything he said, I've been finding in the Old Testament. Of course, a lot of the parables and illustrations that he drew, well, those, you won't find the exact things, but you will find the principles of the law which he drew on are all from the Old Testament. He did not change the law or bring in a new law, but he did fulfill much of the law, and specifically the priest tabernacle sacrifice system. That has been fulfilled and not done away with, but fulfilled. And he fulfilled it so that we do not have to offer the animals and have go through all the rituals of the sacrificial system, because he paid the price once for all. He was the sufficient sacrifice. Let's jump back into our text here. And that's about where we were. That's where we left off. Whosoever lieth carnally with a woman that is a bondmaid, betrothed to a husband, and not at all redeemed, nor freedom given her, she shall be scourged. They shall not be put to death because she was not free. And I really don't believe that this statute is about rape. But I believe that it is about consenting adults, or at least for the most part, consenting adults. But what we have here is a woman who is betrothed but hasn't come together with her husband yet. But now, if a woman was betrothed but hadn't come together with her husband, but she was a free woman, then it was adultery. But in this case, it seems to be a difference because she's a bondmaid, because she's not free. She's not a free woman. So in that case, for whatever reason, they're making a differentiation. Now, but if she had been not only betrothed to her husband, but had come together with her husband, then it would make no difference at all. So I see that there's a distinction being made here, perhaps for a particular case, or a few particular cases that were in the land, or things that had been judged, that this is being brought forward. Because it says, she's betrothed to a husband, and not at all redeemed, nor freedom given her. She shall be scourged. So she's to be punished, and it says they shall not be put to death, because of course the punishment for adultery, well, it was a capital crime. They were both to be put to death, and I would assume that if she is to be scourged, then the man is to be scourged too, because it says she was not free. And he shall bring his trespass offering unto Yahuwah, unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, even a ram for a trespass offering. And the priest shall make an atonement for him with the ram of the trespass offering before Yahuwah, for his sin which he hath done, and the sin which he hath done shall be forgiven him. And when ye shall come into the land, and shall have planted all manner of trees for food, then you shall count the fruit thereof as uncircumcised. That means unclean, like the unclean animals. 3 years it shall be as uncircumcised to you. It shall not be eaten of. So if you plant a vineyard of trees, for 3 years you're not to eat of it. But in the 4th year, all the fruit thereof shall be holy to praise Yahuwah withal. So you're supposed to give it all to the Heavenly Father in the 4th year. And in the 5th year shall you eat of the fruit thereof, that it may yield unto you the increase thereof. I am Yahuwah your God. You shall not eat anything with the blood, neither shall you use enchantment. So we have here again the blood being repeated, and as we discussed and discovered, that's even a statute for the believers of the other nations, who they call themselves Gentiles, because the word Gentile simply means nations, but of the other nations, they were to abstain from blood too. And I gave you the reference for that yesterday. If you missed that, I give it to you again here. Let me get my pointer over there, and so I can see it. And it actually went there. That would be Acts 15:28, if you want to find out that even the Gentiles. Now will this thing go back? This touchpad is way too sensitive. Now I got to go back to where I was and find my place. But there it is, Acts 15:28, if you want to look into that. Okay, let me get back to where I was now. Okay, verse chapter 19, verse 26, you shall not eat anything with the blood, neither shall you use enchantment. And what is enchantment? Nor observe times. Okay, the enchantment means to, well, hiss, to whisper a spell, to prognosticate. So we're not to use enchantment, to get the idea there, to cast spells or whatever, or any type of magic. And it says here, nor observe times. What does that mean? Act covertly. Well, I'm not certain what that means here. It says here a soothsayer or sorcerer to observe. And I guess it being coupled with enchantment to cast spells. And, well, I guess I don't know enough about the dark arts to really comment very much on that. I pretty much stay away from all that stuff myself. Nor observe times. Perhaps that has to do with the zodiac. Is this a good day to do this or a good day to do that? And using enchantment to get wisdom as to when you should go to war, or when you should engage in a business, or when you should cruise the bar to pick up chicks. I don't know, but you get the idea. Use enchantment and observe times. You shall not round the corners of your heads, neither shall you mar the corners of your beards. Okay, well, this would be a lesser commandment, and I don't think this is in the same class as visiting a witch or having a palm reader or using enchantments. I think this is a total different class of sin. I think this would be another one of the examples of the least commandments. Okay, the least commandments, because really, you know, if I mean, the land where I live, most people practice this as a routine. They have an appointment with their barber, you know, once every 2 weeks or once a month or whatever, and they go on a regular basis, and they have their the hair on their head is tapered, and you know, and all shaped, and they always look the same. You know those people. You may be one of those people. You know, and I like some of the some of these yes, even Christian sites, you know, where you're supposed to meet other Christians and perhaps you might find a mate, right? And these women will put down the one of the attributes they're looking for is clean cut. Well, that's what they're talking about. They want you to be clean cut. They want your hair to always be the same. They want your face shaved as smooth as a baby's butt. Clean cut, right? That's what it means. And I always tell them, I'm clean, but I ain't cut. You know, that's how I would describe myself. I'm clean, but I ain't cut. And I ain't cut out of nobody's mold. I'm not always gonna look the same. You know, it may be time between the times that I shave my face and I just shave it all off or whatever. And my hair, well, I let it grow to my shoulders, and then perhaps in the spring I'll cut it up to so I'll be more comfortable through the summer. And but I am not clean cut. I am clean, but I ain't cut. But that's what this is about. This is one of the least commandments. And you know, and I think what our Heavenly Father is saying here is he doesn't want us to spend a lot of time primping in the mirror over how we look. You know, making sure that our beard or mustache are exactly perfect, or that our entire face is bare like a baby's butt, and that the corners of our hair is rounded perfectly. And if it gets too long, oh my goodness, we got to run down to the barber and get it cut and tapered just perfectly and rounded, and you know, not a hair out of place. You know, that I think what our Heavenly Father is saying here is that he doesn't want us to do that. He doesn't want us to be so vain. You know, perhaps the Heavenly Father wants you to have a man that isn't so cut, okay? And perhaps, you know, maybe you're vain and you need a vain man. I don't know. But like I said, I would liken this to the least commandments. And I think that most people do this just because that's what they were taught to do. That's because that's what their father or their mother taught them to do. And so that's what they do. Or they do it because their mother and father did it. So they do it as a matter of habit, a matter of that's the way their family did it. So that's the way they do it. So it's a habitual thing. And they're accustomed to it. So, but he says, you shall not round the corners of your beards, of your heads, and neither shall you mar the corners of your beard. So, no primping in the mirror every day to make sure everything is perfect. I think actually what he's saying here is, I made you, I like you. I like you the way I made you. Stop messing with it, you know? And I think we find more of that as we go on. So, you shall not make any cuttings in your flesh for the dead, nor print any marks upon you. So apparently, some of the pagan practices, and perhaps in Egypt, is that they'd cut and make cuts in their flesh for the dead. So any cutting in your flesh, but he says, nor print any marks upon you. So tattoos are definitely out. If you have a tattoo, it's okay. You know, you're not going to go to hell because you have a tattoo. But our Heavenly Father's not pleased when you mess up his work. When you mar his canvas, it doesn't please him. If he wanted you to have pictures on you, I think he would have put pictures on you. And I've seen some pretty darn gross tattoos, I'm telling you. And probably half the people out there who have tattoos, by some point in their life, wish they never had them. And I've seen some. Is, you know, why do people put tattoos on them? Well, it's a matter of expressing yourself, right? How come we have to express ourselves by disobedience to the Heavenly Father? Well, you know, I'd rather express myself by obedience to Him, because I think I need to be careful about what my expression of myself is saying about me. I would rather have the expression of myself say that I am one who is obedient to the Heavenly Father. That's what my expression, I want my expression to be. So yeah, do express yourself. Express yourself in godliness. Let the world know that you reverence the creator of the universe. Let the world know that what pleases him is important to you. Express yourself. Please do. I mean, everyone does in one way or another anyway. Okay, let's see. You shall not make cuttings in your flesh for the dead, nor print any marks upon you. I am Yahuwah. Do not prostitute thy daughter to cause her to be a whore, lest the land fall to whoredom, and the land become full of wickedness. You shall keep my Sabbaths and reverence my sanctuary. I am Yahuwah. And that reverence the sanctuary, I think they got a good taste of that when the two sons of Aaron were struck dead. Regard not them that have familiar spirits, neither seek after wizards to be defiled by them. I am Yahuwah, your God. And what is the familiar spirit? Well, a lot of people go to these, what do they call them, seances. Or somebody will channel a spirit, and they'll hear something that no one else could know. So this spirit must be the spirit of their family. You notice the word familiar has the same root as familial or family. So, and that's how they trap these people. Of course, there are demons out here. And they know they're familiar spirits because they travel around with families. When one family member dies, these demonic spirits, oh well, they'll try to stick to the same family where they feel comfortable. So perhaps they'll latch on to a daughter or a son of the one that died, or they'll go on to a grandchild of the one that died. They're familiar spirits. And see, the key is that they are familiar with the loved ones that died. So when you go to a seance or something like that, and this spirit that knew your deceased relative and tells you something about them that is familiar, then you go, oh wow, it must be my dead one. No, it's a demon tricking you. That's what it is. You're engaging with demonology. Your loved ones, as the scripture says, the dead know nothing. You know, when your dead relative goes into the ground, you have no more contact with them in this life. You won't see them till the resurrection. If they have repented and they are living in his kingdom, then they will be resurrected. Or perhaps you'll see them in the second resurrection, which is the one where you don't want to be. And we'll talk more about that on some other occasion. But anyway, we're talking about familiar spirits. So that's what it is. So regard not them that have familiar spirits. So you would have these people that would go around, and these spirits would know things, and then you'd go, oh, they know something, so I better talk to them and find out what they know. Well, he says, don't regard them. Give them no regard at all. Don't be defiled by them. I, Yahuwah, am your God. You shall rise up before the hoary head and honor the face of the old man and fear thy God. I am Yahuwah. So the hoary head, referring to the one with gray hairs. And in context here, we're coupling it, honor the face of the old man. Rise up. When an old man comes in, you rise up and honor them. This is a statute. This is a commandment. But we see the opposite in the land where I live. They despise the old. The old are something, are people to be put away out of our sight and given no honor at all. And perhaps when we look around and we see what a lot of the old have allowed to happen to the liberty that this nation once knew, perhaps they don't deserve any honor. But I'm not here to make that judgment. But in our family, in his kingdom, we need to keep his commandments. It says, you shall rise up before the hoary head and honor the face of the old man and fear thy God, I, Yahuwah. And if strangers sojourn with thee in your land, you shall not vex him. So you're not to take advantage of the stranger because he doesn't have anyone among you or that he is alone. But the stranger that dwelleth with you shall be unto you as one born among you. And you shall love him as yourself. For you are strangers in the land of Egypt. I am Yahuwah, your God. So anyone from any nation could come into the kingdom of Israel here, this kingdom that's being described in this law here, and they were to be accepted. Of course, if they were a male, they would be circumcised, and they would become, because they were sojourning among. They weren't allowed to come in and bring their pagan idolatry and so forth. That is not sojourning among. That's called invasion. So there's a difference between an invasion and sojourning among. If they come to sojourn among us, that means they become one of us. If they invade us, that means they come in and they bring a different culture in. So there's a difference between an invasion and someone that comes to sojourn among the people. I would make that distinction, definitely. You shall do no unrighteousness in judgment, in meta yard, in weight, or in measure. So just weights and just measures. And in, of course, in keeping accurate records of the land, you weren't allowed to move the landmark. Say your neighbor's land, you had a rock set up and said, this is the corner of our property where it comes together. You couldn't go out and move the landmark, you know, onto your neighbor's land so that your land is enlarged. So, and just weights, of course. Your weight always had to be the same. You know, a shekel was a shekel. A pound was a pound, an ounce was an ounce. So no unjust weights and measures. A just balance, just weights, a just ephah, a just hin, shall you have. I am Yahuwah, your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt. Therefore shall you observe all my statutes and all my judgments and do them. I am Yahuwah. Chapter 20. And Yahuwah spoke unto Moses, saying, again thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, again, whosoever he be of the children of Israel, or of the strangers that sojourn in Israel, that giveth any of his seed unto Molech, he shall surely be put to death. The people of the land shall stone him with stones. So anyone who practice any form of abortion, infanticide, would surely be put to death. Giveth any of his seed unto Molech. And we discuss that the whole purpose of giving their seed to Molech was the same purpose that people practice birth control, abortion, infanticide today. The motivations have not changed at all. But here, it's a capital. The capital punishment is prescribed for this. Put to death, the people of the land shall stone him with stones. And I will set my face against that man and will cut him off from among his people, because he hath given his seed unto Molech, to defile my sanctuary and to profane my holy name. And, you know, our Heavenly Father, he loves children. And he loved his families. He loved the families to be big. And he loved the people to have plenty of children. Children were a blessing, he said. And I know they teach something different in the land where I live today. In the public school system, they teach you that other things are more important. That you have to get it all together before you come and have a family. That you have to be sure. But no, I think that what Yahushua said should have preeminence. He said, seek first the kingdom of heaven, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all of these things, and he was speaking about all the things that you need, will be added to you. So we seek his kingdom first, and he provides everything we need. That's the promise. If we put his kingdom first before everything else, then he will take care of us. He will provide for our children. He will provide everything that we need. What are we going to eat? What are we going to drink? What are we going to drive? Where are we going to live? All of those things, he says, leave them to me. I will provide all of your needs. And that's his promise. We'll be back after these messages.